Now let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Ephesians chapter 5 this morning. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Let's read from verses 18 down to verse 21. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18 to 21. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Let's pray. O God, we bless you and we are grateful that we can trust and obey you. And Lord, we pray now that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit. We acknowledge your presence. We ask that you would guide us and lead us into truth and understanding. And I pray, O God in heaven, thereby you would meet each one at that point of need this morning. We pray for Brother Stephen O'Sullivan as he ministers the Word of God there at the Evangel Church. Use him, O God, to be an encouragement to that church family this morning. And Lord, for those of us that are here, we ask for your increase upon our lives. We pray for your blessing as well upon the Sunday school ministry, those that minister, and those caring for our children there in the nursery. Lord, we pray that your name will be glorified in our hearts this morning. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Amen. What does it mean to be filled with the Spirit? What does filled with the Holy Spirit look like? It is God's will that every Christian that is indwelt by the Holy Spirit, it is God's will that every Christian lives a life controlled by the Holy Spirit. The analogy is given here in verse 18 of a person that is intoxicated, and the verse is literally teaching, don't be intoxicated with alcohol. Drunkenness was a huge, huge problem there in Ephesus for a number of reasons. Wealth, the ability to buy and consume as much as you willed. And religiously, it was incorporated within the honour and worship of the goddess Diana. So it's in that context the Bible teaches us, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess. As the Apostle Paul writes to these believers, and he uses this as an analogy, don't be intoxicated with alcohol to the point of it controlling you and governing your life, but be controlled, filled with the Holy Spirit. Just like alcohol can take control of the way a person thinks and speaks and acts, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. It is God's will that every Christian be filled, controlled by the Holy Spirit. Now, what will be evident in the life of a person that is controlled by the Holy Spirit? Well, that's the essence of verses 19, 20, and 21. In verse 19, we are told that a Spirit-filled Christian will speak to themselves psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in their hearts to the Lord. So a mark of being Spirit-filled is the outburst of spiritual song, the ability to sing spiritual songs, where you and I in our hearts are singing spiritual songs, a mark of being filled with the Spirit. The Bible talks about God placing a new song upon our hearts for those of us that are Christians. And a Christian that is controlled by the Holy Spirit will automatically, from time to time, burst into song in their heart, even verbally. They will enjoy singing songs that glorify God. A Spirit-filled Christian will sing. They will sing with their lips. They will sing in their hearts spiritual songs. But also note there in verse number 20 that another mark of being controlled by God's Spirit is giving of thanks. A Spirit-filled Christian will give thanks, will be thankful. This is in reference to a supernatural standard of expressing gratitude. We can be taught to be thankful, or we as parents are known to enforce that our children say thank you. But this is referring to a supernatural expression of thankfulness. And as we studied last Sunday morning, giving thanks always. Giving thanks personally, verbalizing gratitude. That's a mark of being Spirit-filled. It's one thing to be thankful in our heart, and I trust we are. It's another to verbally express it. The supernatural expression of gratitude is verbally expressed always. It's not a rarity. It's continual. Always. Giving thanks always. And then verse 20 goes on to read, for all things. That's supernatural. For all things. Always for all things. The good, the bad, and the ugly. And then last but not least, unto God, that we give thanks always for all things unto God. We understand that God is the giver of all. As Job of old said, God gave, God has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I came with nothing. I will go with nothing. God gave, God's taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's supernatural thanksgiving. A person verbally expresses gratitude always for all things unto God. Spirit-filled Christian. And now we come to verse number 21. Please note there at the end of verse 20, a semicolon. And at the end of verse 19, a semicolon. At the end of verse 18, a semicolon. A semicolon means a pause before a continuation of clauses. It links independent clauses that are related in some way. So in verse 18, it reads, "Don't be drunk with wine wherein is excess, be filled with the Spirit," semicolon. So it connects verse 19 that a Spirit-filled Christian will sing spiritual songs. And then we continue on into verse number 20, a Spirit-filled Christian will give thanks always for all things unto God. And we continue on into verse 21, a Spirit-filled Christian will be submissive. Therefore, here we have another mark of being filled with the Spirit, which is submission. A Spirit-filled Christian has a song upon their heart that they will internalize and express. They'll sing to themselves psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. A Spirit-filled Christian will verbally express gratitude continually, always, for all things, unto God. But also a Christian that is controlled by the Holy Spirit will be submissive. Note verse 21 once again. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. A spirit of submission is also the evidence of being controlled by the Holy Spirit. Once again, we can be taught to submit. And some of us are naturally submissive to a point. We all have our breaking point. But this submission here in verse 21 is in reference to a Spirit-controlled, supernatural submission. Let's study verse 21. Let's begin by defining the word submission. Submitting. It's important that we understand what submission means. To submit, it means to be willing to be subordinate, to come under, rank. To defer to obey, to follow. I think we all understand what it means to submit. That's why we often struggle to submit. The implications are not inferiority. Or to be taken advantage of. Or it's such some negative mandate that has negative consequences. The word means literally to be willing to come under rank. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 8, please. And let's note a individual that understood submission. Note here in Matthew chapter 8, we have the event of the centurion that had a sick servant. And he requested that the Lord Jesus would come and heal his servant that he was concerned about. Note here in Matthew chapter 8, verses 5 to 10, it reads, "And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him." The centurion answered and said, "Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof. But speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed." Verse 9, "For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it." When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, "Verily," or "truly, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel." This Roman centurion understood submission. He understood authority. He declared humbly before the Lord, "I am a man that has authority. I understand what it means to have others submit to you." And yet with that, we find that this centurion in his humility approached the Lord Jesus and, out of concern for his sick servant, he asked, "Will you just speak? I believe that you can heal him." See, this centurion understood submission. He esteemed others more than himself, the need of this sick servant. The centurion was willing to come under and submit to the Lord Jesus. Though he was a man of authority, he didn't demand the Lord Jesus heal his servant. He requested of him. In Romans 12:10, it talks about, "Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another." See, submission is the opposite of self-assertion or pushing yourself forward or being autocratic. Don't tell me what to do. It's really the submission, the opposite of submission is a proudful attitude. And often our Lord Jesus tried to teach his disciples to not seek to be the greatest, but to be a servant before all. Submission. To come under. Now, the simplicity of submission, go back to Ephesians chapter 5, please. So submission means to come under, to be willing to be subordinate to obey, to follow. And that's exactly what the centurion expressed before the Lord Jesus. He said, I'm a man of authority. I'm willing to come under. I'm willing to do what I need to do to help this dear servant of mine. But we see here in Ephesians 5:21 the simplicity of submission. It reads, submitting yourselves. Submitting yourselves, a personal issue. A spirit-filled Christian will personally choose to submit. This is a personal willingness to submit, as opposed to being told, submit, do as you're told. And I understand as parents, there are times when we need to say to our children, do as you're told. But parents, we understand that we are endeavoring to train our children to the point that we can speak and they obey. They submit. Without having to say to them, do as you're told, son. Otherwise you might not sleep well tonight. Or whatever. However you threaten your children. See, submission comes from within. It doesn't need to be demanded. It's a heart attitude, submitting yourselves. We're talking about the spirit-filled life here. This is very personal. It's a attitude. It's a heart condition. It doesn't need to be demanded. It is evident in the spirit-filled Christian. In other words, I choose to submit. We don't need to threaten. We choose to submit. We see this exemplified in the life of our Lord Jesus there in John chapter 13. Go to John chapter 13, please. Verses 4 and 5. John chapter 13, verses 4 and 5. The Bible reads, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poureth water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Our Lord Jesus was willing to take the position of a servant, and he was willing to wash the feet of his disciples. And note then verse number 14, the disciples were a little bit puzzled, especially Simon Peter. The Lord Jesus went on to say in verse 14, if I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. Our Lord Jesus exemplified submission. We see it in his heart. He wasn't told to wash the feet of the disciples. After the evening meal, he chose to wash the feet of the disciples. He was willing to do that which was a job for a servant, a slave. Not a pleasant thing to do, to wash the feet of another. It's hard enough washing your own feet. Not real exciting, is it? Could you imagine washing the feet of a bunch of men, disciples? So we see a spirit of submission in the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. And a person that is spirit-filled, submitting yourselves, it's personal, it's within. It doesn't have to be demanded from without. Simple instruction comes from without, and the Spirit is there within. We submit. Our Lord Jesus was willing to submit to God the Father in providing redemption for all of humanity. Note there in Hebrews chapter 12, please. Hebrews chapter 12. In verses 2 and 3. Hebrews 12:2 reads, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, belittled the humiliation of the cross and what crucifixion meant and represented. He endured the agony of the cross. He belittled the shame. He wasn't concerned about the humiliation element of crucifixion. And thereby he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him, the Bible teaches us, that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. Lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. The Lord Jesus endured the cross. He was willing to be shamed for you and I. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. God the Son was willing to obey God the Father in dying for the sins of the world. And there in the Garden of Gethsemane, he cried out, Father, not my will, but thine be done. Submitting yourselves. It's a heart condition. If you and I are spirit-filled, then we would simply do, obey what we need to do. Because we are spirit-filled and therefore we have a submissiveness within our heart that comes via the blessed Holy Spirit. And I'm so thankful that God the Son was willing to obey God the Father in dying for the sins of humanity. He was willing to die for our sins. He was willing to shed his blood for our sins. He was willing to endure the cross, despise the shame in order to provide eternal life for all of humanity. This submissiveness was within the heart of the Son of God. That's why, without being told, he began to wash the feet of his disciples. The Lord Jesus said to his own, I want you to follow my example. I've set before you a pattern. I want you to follow my example. Submission is personal. A willingness to come under. But turn back with me, please, to Ephesians chapter 5. This submission, this spirit-filled submission, a willingness to come under personally. We choose to submit. We don't have to be threatened.
or forced. Submitting yourselves, now let's read on in verse 21. It reads, submitting yourselves one to another. Let's say it together. One to another. One more time. One to another. We have here the scope of submission. The simplicity of submission. We've spelled out submitting yourselves. The scope of submission. We all need to submit to one another from time to time. Don't we? None of us are always in the box seat of authority. None of us. We are all called to submit on a regular basis. I trust on the way to church this morning you submitted to the speed restrictions on the roads. Yeah. Where it reads 60, you maintained 60. Where it reads 70, you maintained 70. We're called to submit all the time, submitting yourselves one to another. And maybe while driving home after church this morning, you find yourself being directed to stop by some vague, disinterested looking traffic engineer. And you are called to submit to stop. Or maybe on your last visit to your family doctor, he tells you to eat less yummy things. You are called to submit for your own well-being. Or maybe there is the need to submit within the context of the workplace. Or within a relationship where there is a need for adjustment or correction. My point is simply this: submission is a part of life. We are all submitting. We all need to submit. And a spirit-filled Christian understands that, yes, submission is a part of life. Nobody is in the box seat of authority all the time, every time. You might be the Prime Minister of Australia, but yet have a GP that tells you, Albanese, you need to lose some weight. As a Christian, okay, I accept that. The scope of submission. Submission is necessary if we want harmonious relationships. That's why here in Ephesians chapter 5, that we'll look at in the weeks to come, verses 22 onwards makes reference to marital relationships. And then in chapter 6, we lead into family relationships and workplace relationships. The scope of submission. Submitting yourselves one to another.
good example of that there is in John chapter 2. Go to John chapter 2, please. John chapter 2 records for us the first miracle performed by our Lord Jesus. And it was at a marriage, following a wedding reception. And there was a shortage of wine, and Mary said then, verse number 5, his mother said unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Think about it for a moment. In all probability, servants were men. Been told by a woman, what he tells you to do, do it. She's not the host. It's not her party. She's a guest. And she said to these servants, whatsoever he tells you to do, do it. And we read on that they did it. They took heed to her command, and they did it. And God performed a miracle. These servants took instruction from a woman. Beloved, we are to submit to the point that it doesn't violate our obedience to the Word of God. In Acts chapter 5, verse 29, it talks about obeying God rather than man. And a Spirit-filled Christian understands that submission is spiritual, it's personal, it comes from within, and understands that I must submit to others. Submitting yourselves one to another. The scope of submission. All of us are called to submit from time to time. Now go back to Ephesians chapter 5. We live in a day in which people are determined to push themselves forward. And you parents, be careful of pushing your children forward. You'll breed a wrong spirit in their heart. Yes, lead them. Yes, encourage them. Children do not need to be pushed forward. You will breed a wrong spirit in their heart. They need to be willing to come under, submit. And note here in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21, once again it reads, submitting yourselves, the simplicity of submission, one to another, the scope of submission. And last but not least this morning, the superiority in submission. Who are we ultimately submitting to when we submit? The Bible reads, in the fear of God. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God, in reverence, in honor to God, I submit to others. Because we fear God. We understand that all authority stems back to God. Note there in Romans chapter 13, please. Quickly, Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13, verses 1 and 2. Let
Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation or judgment. So the point is simply this, beloved. We need to be mindful when it comes to submission there, that we ultimately submit ourselves unto God. Because we understand that all authority stems back to God. And to resist delegated authority means that I resist submission, obedience to God. Because He is the author. And we are to respect authority, and we respect authority by honoring God. That's why the Bible teaches us there in Ephesians 5, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. We submit in the fear of God, in honor, in reference to our God, because He is the authority. And all of us are under authority. Even the pastor is under authority. Note then 1 Peter chapter 5, please. Peter addresses pastors in verse 1. Note then verse 2, feed the flock of God, which is among you. Feed them, take the oversight. Not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but with a ready mind, a willingness to serve and watch over. Verse 3, not being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. Then note him, verse 4, and when the chief shepherd shall appear... And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. So as a pastor, literally a pastor is a under-shepherd. You might be familiar with that term, the under-shepherd. The true shepherd, the true pastor is Jesus Christ. And I have the authority to feed, to lead, within the boundaries of this book. And I'm mindful that I'm under authority. All of us are under authority. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. This is the reason why Lucifer fell. In Isaiah chapter 14, it records that he was unwilling to submit. His heart was swelled up with pride, and he tried to usurp the authority of Almighty God. Lucifer stepped out of line, and he became Satan, the devil. Superiority in submission. We understand that as we submit, it's unto God. As I obey traffic rules, it's unto God. It's unto God. As I obey that traffic engineer, it's unto God. It's unto God. As I obey, submit to my
doctor who is trying to lead me into well-being. It's unto God. It's unto God. See, submission is a mutual or a shared command for all of us. We all have a part in this. And under the control of the Holy Spirit, we can submit one to another. And as I've said, we will see in the verses to come, it is the key to our marital relationships. It is the key to our material relationships. My friend, how submissive are you? Well, that stems back to how much of God's Spirit controls you. Are we selective? Do we need to be told or pressured into submission? Is there an area in your life or in my life that we struggle to submit to? See, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. A Spirit-filled Christian understands submission. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. The key to submission is to be filled with the Spirit. To be filled with the Spirit, my friend, you need to have the presence of God's Spirit. Do you have the presence of God's Spirit? Well, Pastor, how do I have the assurance that I have the presence of God's Spirit? By simply receiving Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior. We are born again through the Word of God and by the Holy Spirit, and we are sealed under the day of redemption by the Spirit of God. Your body, my body, becomes the temple of the Holy Spirit. But are we controlled by the Spirit? Do we give thanks always? Or are we always complaining, whinging, whining? Oh, but Pastor, there's so much to whinge about. Yeah, there might be. But a Spirit-filled Christian will be giving thanks always for all things unto God. A Spirit-filled Christian will still have a song upon their heart. And a Spirit-filled Christian submits. Submits. It's a heart attitude. How's your heart this morning? Are you struggling to submit? You might be submissive in these areas over here, but what about this area over here? I think many of us, if the truth be known, are very selective in our scope of submission. Talk to me. Yeah, it's true. We're selective. We pick and choose. Yes, Pastor. Yes, Pastor. Yes, Pastor. No way, Pastor. No way, Pastor. We wouldn't say that verbally, but it's in there. And one of my frustrations as your pastor is I have no personal agenda. I will share what God has given me to share, or the wisdom that God has given for me to share. And to have God's people just do nothing. Not even consider. And I've had to learn over the years that, okay, at the end of the day, submission is a spiritual issue. And I need to pray for these believers that they'd be filled with the Spirit. And maybe if they're filled with the Spirit, they'll have that right Spirit controlling them, and therefore they'll be able to see the wisdom that's been imparted. Submission is a mutual command for all of us. The key is, be filled with the Spirit. Let's pray.